Hello, 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 people. Welcome to the Track Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Track Talk Podcast. You might think this isn't Dan. No, it's not Dan. It's Jay. I've been promoted. Dan's been sacked. I've been promoted to presenter. And I'm joined by Charlotte. Charlotte, it's now a two-man podcast. How are you?
Well done, Jay. This was Jay's first time hosting the podcast. That was a wonderful intro. I did think, oh my God, where's Dan? But you told us. sorry.
Yeah, that's
yeah, no, I'm good. I'm very excited, even though I know we're a bit late to the party, but nonetheless, I'm still very excited for us to talk about Australia because a fair bit happened, and I would say that is definitely the best race we've had so far. I know there's only been three, but it's still been the best race we've had so far.
Third time's the charm. So just to clarify before we move on, Dan has not been sacked. Dan is on a train somewhere and unfortunately cannot record. He will be back in the very near future, I'm sure, for Japan. But let's move to Australia, where everything was on stupidly early in the morning this year. As I say, as a very, very ignorant European, I think. Was the race at 4 a.m? Did you get up for it?
No.
No, neither did I. Okay.
Neither I watched it the next day at my own leisurely time.
Very good. Very good. Well, let's talk about Carlos Sainz. He was in a hospital bed a couple of weeks ago while Ollie Bearman replaced him in Saudi Arabia. And now he's on the top step of the podium. What a turnaround.
I mean, I still actually can't fathom how Carlos Sainz did as well as he did, let alone winning a race. Just completing a race and completing a whole weekend, I think, is absolutely sensational. He was in, as Jay said, a hospital bed after having his appendix out 16 days before. And then he gets out there, he qualifies P2, sticks it on the front row of the grid, and he drove absolutely amazingly. Even before Max had an issue, which we will talk about in a moment, he did an amazing move against Max, who made a mistake and took the lead. And then that was kind of it, really. There was absolutely no issues for Carlos Sainz. He kept up the pace. He drove superbly and made no mistakes. And it was flawless. And I'm so happy for him that he got another race win. And it just shows that this man cannot be jobless, as he keeps joking about. He cannot be jobless next year. He needs a seat. And I just wonder which team is going to nab him.
Interesting. It is going to be interesting come next season. I think the thing that impressed me most about Sainz this weekend wasn't the fact that he beat a wounded Verstappen and won the race. It's the fact that he was comfortably ahead of Leclerc all weekend. And, you know, as we all know, Leclerc's no slouch. Leclerc's won in Australia before, hasn't he? He won there a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Comfortably him all weekend. And obviously won the race when he's returned. And like you said, I think now the cards and the ball is in Sainz's court, rather than in the team's call. I think he's sort of your number one candidate. If you're Merck looking to replace Hamilton, if you're Red Bull, maybe looking at someone who's going to replace Perez, because, I mean, it's not going to be Daniel Ricciardo, is it, Charlotte? I mean, we'll get onto that one later.
We'll get onto
Ricciardo later. I think you can't look past Carlos Sainz. He's done it at a big team. He's a three-time race winner now. He's a very capable driver.
I mean, he wasn't even, like, let alone having surgery as well. Let's just bear this in mind. He hadn't even had time to get to, a good physical health. He hadn't had time to train. And especially with the G-force these guys are pulling all the time. He has to have his core. He's got to have his neck, the strength, the concentration, everything. And he hadn't had time to go in the gym and, you know, go on the simulator and all the things that he would do before a race. He's still with the bandages. When he was getting the podium, there's a picture of him and Lando, and he's got bandages on his stomach. It's like, but it's not only that, it is the perfect time for him to be showcasing his talent. And there's always been that thing that I know that we have definitely mentioned, and I know a lot of people have, of saying he's quite underrated. You know, is he kind of like a midfield driver? The conversation of looking at him against his teammates, so him versus Lando Norris, him versus Charles Leclerc, and everyone would say Charles Leclerc could be a world champion. He's the number one driver. He's Ferrari's, like, wonder boy. Carlos is completely thrashing him so far, I would say, this season. I know it's only been two races for Carlos against Charles because he couldn't do Saudi, but I just think I think he's one of the best drivers with this season. Obviously, Max has that dominance, but he hasn't got that sort of car underneath him. And I just think Carlos's racecraft and everything, he's just completely outperforming. And it's going to be interesting where he could go, because I think Merck will definitely want him. Would he be too much of a competition for Max at Red Bull?
You know, because he was Max's first ever teammate in Formula One, wasn't he? At Toro Rosso
Toro
way back
Rosso.
when. I actually can't remember who won that. I mean, obviously Max Verstappen was probably in nappies when he was driving that car, so it's sort of tricky to really analyze that as the future. But the way I'm looking at it is that Red Bull have got an advantage, but every sort of passing week, Ferrari and Merck and McLaren and whoever else will slowly eat into that advantage. So there's going to be a point where, no disrespect to Sergio Perez, he won't be able to maybe seal all the constructors if Max is first and Perez is fifth, and you've got, I don't know, the two Ferraris second and third or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So there's going to be the time where they're going to have to upgrade Perez. And I think Sainz is your man. And I don't think Sainz is the kind of sort of reckless teammate where, let's say, Red Bull is still the best team, best car next year, and it's him versus Max for the title. He's not going to do something stupid. He's not going to crash into him or crash his car in
No,
qualifying
no,
to bring
no.
out a yellow flag. He's a very honest racer. So if I was Christian Horner or Toto Wolff, I think it'd be a no-brainer to try and tie Sainz down for next season. If anything, the biggest beneficiary of this Hamilton to Ferrari saga could be Carlos Sainz, because he could go to Red Bull next season and have a seat in the quickest car. But I guess we'll wait and see, won't we? We'll wait and see. Talking about Red Bull, a slight blip this weekend. Max's first retirement in 2 years. And he's not that far ahead in the Drivers' Championship. I know it's still early days and he won Bahrain and Saudi by an absolute country mile. But Charlotte, are we going to get a title battle this season, or is this just a slight blip in the road, do you think? I put you on the spot there.
Well, I'd say the optimist in me would love to say that we will see a title battle. And I would love to hope that it's not going to be as plain sailing as it has been. But I think the realist in me think this is just probably a blip. Because if I'm honest, in the last 2-ish years, I feel like in general, we don't see as many like mechanical failures in the cars as like we used to. Like even just, 4 years ago, I feel like there were so many issues with the cars. They had like an engine failure, power unit gone, or like just I felt like there was loads of those sort of retirements. And when Max was going around and you saw that smoke coming out, it almost was like, what is going on? I thought, well, he hasn't got over a bit of dust, because no one else had that and it was just him. And then when we saw that he'd brakes to catch on fire and slightly did it, blimey, it just felt really out of the ordinary for Red Bull. And they had gone for a different sort of setup. They went for a much higher downforce on the front wing, and it seemed like that was causing a lot of issues. Max kept saying he was bottom out, so he had too much oversteer and his end kept sliding and he didn't have control. And then Checo was on the radio saying similar sort of things during the race. But it, I really do think, and I really don't want to say this, but I just think this probably was a blip. And Max will be back to his usual form. And it's a shame in a way, because with that DNF of Max, I screamed, and I know that I'm probably not the only one, but it's not because, oh, I hate Max Verstappen or anything like that. It's like, oh my gosh, we've got a race now, because the usual dominance of Max Verstappen is now out of the equation, and it's now a fight between the Ferraris and McLarens, and can Checo even get back up, or can the Mercs do anything? No, they can't. But
A sly dig.
well, it got exciting, and that's what we always want to see. As soon as we saw him out, you thought, right, we've got a race on our hands. And if I'm honest, in a way, because we saw Max struggling, and you know, he made that mistake. I can't remember which turn it was. I want to say 11 or 12. And we saw Carlos get past very well and in an unusual place. I'm interested to have known if Max would have just then gone, I don't know, found a rhythm and then just got past Carlos again and continued into the distance, or if there was going to be a bit more of a battle on track. Because as the race kind of went on in the middle, it felt like everything kind of plateaued and it kind of leveled out once everyone had started doing their second pit stops and things, which I felt like we needed a few more battles in that sense. But yeah, long story short, I've just realised. No, I do think Max is probably going to dominate this season, and I really hope that's not the case. But
I know, I agree. I agree. I think come Japan, he'll be well ahead.
oh, I really hope not.
One thing I did kind of feel a bit let down by was that even though Verstappen's at the race and it was kind of like, oh my God, this is everything everybody ever wanted. Verstappen to DNF, and now we get a race for the win.
Yeah.
And then Sainz was just gone. Sainz
Yeah.
was kind of just doing a Verstappen. And there was Norris and Piastri kind of behind. And could Norris catch up to the Ferraris? And was Perez going to hunt down the McLarens and the Ferraris, and then nothing really happened for the rest of the race. And it was like, oh, cool, Sainz has won, but I can't say it was like a thriller.
No. That is the thing. Like, I felt like the first 15 laps, it was like, oh my gosh, this is quite juicy. Like, a lot of things are kind of going on here. And then as we've said, it just felt like it kind of leveled out. And I don't know if it's the regulations that we have, the way the cars are. You know, we saw Lando kind of chasing Charles Leclerc towards the end, and he was catching time. Someone else was, I think, was it Russell? I think it was Russell on
Catching Alonso,
Checo, or was it Alonso? It
he was
was
catching
Alonso, wasn't
Alonso when he
it?
right at the end. He was hunting him down,
Yeah, that's
well.
it. So he was gaining. Well, he was gaining. So you know, there is that kind of variable, and it was always that thing of like, oh, can they do it? Can they do it in that time? But yeah, it's just a shame because you want to see that on track battles, and the problem is 2021 completely spoiled us.
It did. It did.
So yeah, I think everyone's expectations now are insanely high because of it.
It did, sadly, it did. You mentioned Russell and Alonso there very, very, very briefly. What was your kind of your thoughts on how the FIA handled that? Of course, it was sort of Russell was chasing Alonso going into a quite fast corner. Alonso sort of slowed down and sped up and slowed down again. It sort of caught Russell out. Russell went flying off, ended up in the middle of the track in a very uncomfortable position. And then the FIA decided to give Alonso a driving penalty because it was so late in the race, it got converted to a 20-second penalty. Do you think that'll justify Charles?
It was kind of a bit bizarre because, yeah, when we see George Russell's on board, Alonso did look like he in like just slowed down so much more than Russell expected around that corner, which then sent Russell into a fear of crashing, which then in turn made him crash. I think having a virtual safety car at the end of the race was bizarre. I think it should have been red flagged because, well, firstly, if you have seen that clip that I'm sure people have of Russell's onboard, he is literally screaming, red flag, red flag, red, 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 red. I'm in the middle of the track. And I think it was Lance Stroll's onboard where he was coming round and his engineer had said to him, like, oh, careful, you know, he's in the middle of the track. But I don't think many people would have realised how much he was literally sideways on in the middle of the track. And especially it being the last lap, they're not going to compete and, you know, have a full length of racing. I just think red flag it and we're done. You know, there was a lot of debris on the track as well.
I think the reason why they didn't red flag it is because if they would flagged it, then they'd have had to come back to the. I think it goes back to like the previous sector, sort of before the red flag is flown. So Russell would have still been in the race. If that makes sense. Russell would have finished P7, wherever it would have been.
Right, I see.
I don't know if I've got it right. I remember F2 a couple of years ago in Sochi. these two cars crashed on the last lap and then it went back. So even though they crashed, they still got all the points for it. So I kind of see it, and I saw this thing on Twitter. I don't know how sort of reliable it is, that apparently the delta for the red flag is the same as the delta for the VSC. So they would have been going at the same pace, if that makes sense, to all the cars who are going past Russell. So I kind of have not sympathy, but I kind of get why they did the VSC from a sporting point of view, and I don't think it really hindered the safety too much. I think obviously a red flag, people start, you kind of stand up and go, wow, this something big's happened here, because so we need to really, really be careful. Where VSC is kind of like, oh, a bit of debris on the track, some of that. So maybe the drivers don't take it as seriously. But I guess from a legal standpoint, in terms of the sport regulations, if the delta is the same for both, then I can see why they didn't fly the red flag at that stage.
Yeah, and I think what you've said is completely like, yeah, semi changed my opinion, but I just think the way his car was positioned just makes you think like, oh, you should have just red flagged it, is how I saw it. But then when you're looking at it, like the deltas and all that stuff is when it gets all complicated. But 20-second penalty for Alonso, it kind of feels harsh and then not. Because if we're looking at him kind of slowing down in that corner, then it's a little bit of that same essence of when Max brake tested Lewis in Saudi Arabia 2021, to an extent, but not really. And obviously performing a maneuver like that is quite dangerous. I know they haven't said he's brake tested, but it was bizarre if you're racing, especially on the last lap, why are you slowing down that much? Unless you're trying to preserve tires or something, or I don't know what he's up to. But he's don't if I'm honest, he's lost two positions. I know it's points at the end of the day, but I didn't think it was the massive thing. And at the end of the day, his actions cause George Russell out of the race and a lot of money for Merck. So I don't know. I don't think it's too harsh, but I don't know at the same time. What other, I think 10 seconds would have been too lenient.
I think it's really tricky to kind of penalize this in the right way, or if we penalized it all, because you kind of would need to know Alonso's intentions. If Alonso purposely slowed down, sped up, slowed down again to spook Russell, and then that made him, fly off the track, then obviously, of course, that's something that should be penalized and is kind of against all kind of factors of sport and integrity. But if Alonso just made a mistake going into the corner and then misjudged it and then sped up, slowed down, etc., can we penalise it? I guess we'll never know, because we'll never know Alonso's intentions, and Alonso will always say, I just made a mistake going into the corner. Even if the telemetry says he braked way before he did on all the previous laps, and he was on the last lap. So, don't know. I'm kind of stuck on this, and I did feel like 20 seconds was harsh at the time, but obviously he's done that on purpose. And I mean, Alonso is probably the most intelligent driver on the grid. So, not to sort of badmouth him, but it wouldn't surprise me if he tried something like that. Not in like a
No,
horrible,
but yeah.
but just in
Yeah,
like a
yeah,
way
yeah.
to sort of say, like, I'm finishing here and you're finishing behind me kind of thing. So yeah, it was tricky, tricky, very controversial moment, a very controversial moment. And perhaps even more controversially was Williams deciding to kick out Logan Sargeant and say, you know what, your car's going to Alex Albon this weekend, after Alex Albon decided to smash his up in the wall in free practice. Charlotte, was that ethical? Is that fair? Is that right? What do you think?
So when I first heard about this, I thought, oh my goodness, that is really unfair because you're kicking out a driver to put the driver who crashed his car into your car. And it's like, well, it's not Logan's fault that Alex crashed the car. And why does he almost get a second chance? But the way William saw it is that this is their best chance of getting points. It's a long championship. If we'd have to sacrifice anyone, unfortunately, it would be Logan Sargeant. Because Alex got majority of the points last year. Then you can look at it as then them saying, and how Logan probably felt is, well, you're not going to be good enough to get points. Alex is better than you. Get out. And it's like, I completely understand what Williams were doing. And in a way, If you had to pick, I wouldn't think, let's definitely put Logan Sargeant in to get points, you know. But I just think if I was Logan and his team and stuff, it would leave a bit of taste in your mouth, and it definitely would, I think, be some sort of friction if you're looking at it from an individual and like his side. But as a team, in general, I would say that's the right choice, as if you're looking at for the constructors.
No, I do agree. From a winner's perspective, it makes complete sense because, I mean, the fact is Albon is a driver who's much more capable of getting the car to the point, and he was quite close towards the end of the weekend. But
Finished P11, annoying.
yeah, P11. If that Alonso penalty was a bit more severe, he'd have been P10, and we'd all be going, "Oh, Williams have, an absolutely masterclass, well played, Williams." I do really feel for Logan Sargeant, but then from his perspective, he's probably thinking, my seat is probably the least tenable currently in Formula One. My seat's the most at risk. So if the team say jump, he's going to say how high? And they said jump out your car and let Albon in. So that's what he done. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really think, obviously, a bit pissed for Logan, but I don't think he'll be crying about it overly, So yeah,
Yeah, I
all
mean,
good.
it's one of those things, and I think he needs to, unfortunately, just move on and get on to the next race and take it from there. But I know that I'd be pretty like gutted and upset about it.
We weren't, we weren't. Do you know what, actually, speaking about all of the teams, well, we did kind of a couple of weeks ago, I said that McLaren were the third best team in Formula One this season on pace. Surely now, I know Dan's not here and Dan agreed with you, but surely now we can all agree that McLaren is a lot better than that Mercedes. Or
Yeah.
are you still on the Mercedes hype train?
No. No, like the McLaren is really good this year. Let's be real. Oscar and Lando did a very good job this weekend, and they were proper on it with the pace. They were challenging the Ferraris. They were way ahead of Merck. But my feeling still is it's track dependent. Was the setup for the Merc completely rubbish this weekend? From literally free practice this weekend, Lewis was struggling from the get go, and he was not happy, and he made that clear. I mean, George wasn't performing outstandingly, much better than Hamilton, but it wasn't like leaps and bounds ahead of him. Yeah, I at this rate, the Merc ain't looking great
Oh,
again.
I didn't know he's a rapper as well, Charlotte. I didn't know he's a rapper as well.
Did I rhyme?
He said, at this rate, the market ain't looking great.
Oh gosh, yeah.
We've got Stormzy in the building, people.
Getting way too big for the boot. sorry, that was so
Man,
wrong.
that was good. That was good. That was good. Got some lyrics there.
I sound so not like Stormzy.
You
Yeah,
don't,
I
but then to you and Stormzy are quite different, to be fair. If you sounded like Stormzy, I felt more
really?
concerned.
I get mistaken for him
Have
all the
you
time.
really? Oh,
Yeah.
that's
For the
quite some.
height, you know, the way we
The
look,
height, of
like
course. The
you
whole
know
course. Big
what
6 foot 6 Charlotte.
I mean? I think I'm literally up to his kneecap. Yeah, I mean, look, this weekend you could literally say that Mercedes were pretty, I don't even know if they were fourth best team at times. I would like to say they are, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna leave, we'll see what happens in Japan, but yeah, I'm leaning to agreeing with you.
Big problems at Merck. Talk about people who are singing from the wrong song sheet. Daniel Ricciardo. What's happened? I saw this thing this week as well, Alex. Apparently, he is further behind Yuki in the first races of this season than Nick DeVries was in the first races of last season. This is in qualifying, by the way. And I know, look, Nick DeVries is my boy, and I'm going to defend him to the high heels, et cetera, et cetera, et
There's
cetera.
the Nick DeVries
There's,
chat.
yes, here it is. I had to get
Still
it in.
going.
Well, because Dan's not hosting, so I can just slip in whenever I want now. So he's further behind Tsunoda than De Vries was. And he's been there for what, half of last season and now the start of this season. Surely they got to whack Lawson in. There's rumors that Lawson might be on the cards if Ricciardo didn't pick up his pace. What a mistake by not by replacing it, De Vries. I can admit De Vries was subpar, but by bringing in someone who's older than De Vries at a team which is meant to be a junior team, which is upskilling younger drivers, for one, and two, keeping on this season when we saw Liam Lawson can do the business in the AlphaTauri or Toro Rosso, whatever they call nowadays, if he's a catch-up RB, if given the chance. So surely Liam Lawson comes in soon if Ricciardo doesn't pick up the pace.
I mean, yeah, I
I'm glad.
Jay.
I'm glad because Charlotte is the biggest Daniel Ricciardo fan, and I know it's pain in her. This is an audio podcast, but if you could see her face, the grimace as she said that. But I respect you. I respect your maturity, right?
I am. You know, I think I'm quite impartial most of the time, and before we even start recording, Jay was like, "Sure, we need to talk about Danny Rick." I was like, "Yes, we do." And he's like, "I have so much to say, but I'm gonna save it." I was like, "Okay." But honestly, before I even know what Jay's gonna say and things like that, I don't have much to say about Danny Ricciardo, especially this week. I missed qualifying, not only because it was early, but just in general, I was away, and I saw the results on Instagram, and I just thought, oh my God, he's penultimate. Like, he's second to last out of 19 drivers. He was P18. I just thought, there's literally, I don't even know how you can justify whatever's just happened. And Yuki was in Q3. I just thought, for goodness sake, like, the boys are going to roast me. First of all, was my first
You're
instinct, especially in my
not wrong.
predictions. It doesn't go well for me. And with Danny Rick. He did finish the race P12, and I do have to say, here's my little, I'm gonna support here. I have to say that in the second, after the second pit stop and his like later stint, I think his pace was better, and he was getting up the grid. P12. I know he had people. He's got how many people under him? Pierre Gasly, Valtteri Bottas. Okay, no, there's not much
They're gone.
justification.
Say the names beneath him. So he said Pierre Gasly,
Oh no.
the Alpine's fully as good as my road car this year. Bottas, who drives for a team who, I mean, we even said
They
before
want to
this,
do.
how are they a Formula One team currently?
They want to do 20-second pit stops. I
Yeah,
know.
like they think that it's how long you can do the pit stop for rather than the speed of it. So we can't count any driver who drives for Sauber. We can't count the Alpines. Who else is below him?
Joe Guan Yu and Esteban Ocon.
Oh, there you go then. So basically, the four drivers he just don't count in this season are below him.
And then obviously it says George Russell, Lewis Hamilton, and Max, but they're the retirees. No, okay, right. I don't know. I just remember the team principal talking to the Sky Sports F1 team during the race, saying that Daniel's lapping at a good pace, and his second stint seemed to be much better. Honestly, I don't know what to say. It pains me to think possibly is his time up, and has he lost it?
So, in a word, will he be there come the end of the season, Daniel Ricciardo?
Because he's with RB, no.
There you go. There you go. Heard it first. Liam Lawson, we'll see you very, 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 very
But at the
soon.
same time, they love him. They Red Bull love Daniel Ricciardo.
Because he
Will they
sells
just?
t-shirts.
But all right.
He sells, that's why he's there. He sells t-shirts. He's a good looking guy. I came back from Italy last week and his poster was on all the walls in the airport. Do you know what I mean? He moves
Really?
merchandise. Yeah. Because obviously Italian team, aren't they? Whatever they're called, Visa Cash App RB. So
Oh yeah,
he moves stuff commercially, but
I know he's extremely likable. He's a popular personality, but I don't know. I felt like that was harsh what I said, and it kind of upset me that I've said it. And I hope that I haven't spoken that into existence. But if we're looking at how RB are, and if he's not performing, and at the moment he's been completely th not thrashed, but outperformed by Yuki, then he's out.
He's out indeed. Okay, well, let's move on to my favorite part of the episodes is the predictions. Charlotte, it was your advantage this week. You were batting first.
I
And
was.
if anything, it was quite unlucky because obviously we always go for Verstappen pole, Verstappen win. And even though he did get pole this weekend, he did his what he brake blew up in the race. So that might harm me, but let's see, let's see. How did you get on? So first prediction, pole position, you obviously put.
I put Logan Sargeant. My God,
Imagine.
imagine though, that would have been really infuriating. I put Max Verstappen.
Good start, good start. I will cover Dan's predictions since Dan's not here. He's been sacked. He put Leclerc on pole. So no points for Dan. And I only had sort of Perez left as an option, so I went
Not
Perez.
really. You should have chosen
Yeah,
Carlos.
I should have. I honestly thought that he would be like eighth or ninth this weekend.
So I honestly thought his best result would be like a sixth or something like that. But yeah, nowhere near did I think he'd be P2. When I saw that, I was shocked.
We've got egg on our face. But anyway, Shah, top three.
Right. So obviously, I've got my qualifying right. And I thought, right, nothing can go wrong. And I put Verstappen, Perez, Leclerc, because I thought, how can I be wrong? Boy, was I wrong. I've got no points on that one.
Zero. Wow.
Yep.
Zero. This is
Brilliant.
one of those interesting weekends where maybe going first
No, did not work.
is a disadvantage
It
because
didn't work.
Dan put Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz as one point
Oh,
for
that's
Leclerc in
one
P2.
point.
And I put Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez, which is also one point for Leclerc in second. So it really worked out well. So we're all on one now, all on one. All right, next up was we always do a random finisher prediction. Who did you have for P9?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm actually so frustrated. I put Alonso for P9.
Was he P8?
When he now with the penalty, he's
P8.
P8.
Oh, that would have been too fair. Too fair. I mean, it would have counted, but would you have deserved it for an after-race penalty?
Oh my God, yes, because that's where he's finished in the standings.
Yeah, I mean it is, but have you really predicted it? Have you really gone there and thought, you know what, he's gonna get a penalty at the end of the race, he's gonna go from fifth to
Had
eighth?
anyone predicted
No,
that he'd So,
true.
Jay, hush.
True. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh on you, a bit harsh on you, but no points there, sadly. Dan put P9 Stroll. Who actually was P9?
So P9 was Nico Hülkenberg
Is
and
it? What a
Lance
guy.
Stroll is P6.
It's too fair to Dan. You might have got him upside down. Okay, fair enough, Dan. Unlucky.
Nice.
Unlucky. P9, I put Lewis Hamilton, which I feel like is where he probably would have finished if his engine didn't blow up. So,
No, when I saw that, I thought that was, to be honest, it was a good shout when I saw you put
I
that
just
through.
thought they're rubbish this year, but sadly, no points for anyone on that
Nope.
one. Positive surprise, Charlotte.
Right.
Let's see who you put.
Okay, so I went for vibes and manifesting. It's his home race. And I put Danny Rick. Then he qualified P18 out of 19. I thought, well, that's gone out the window. He's finished P12. Could I argue it, you may ask? Well, we found out earlier, no. So, no points. Jay will not let me have it, let's
No,
be real.
when you started that, I was thinking, surely she's not going to try and argue Daniel
Well,
Ricciardo, who got
you know,
beat, who beat
P12 was
four
only two
tractors.
away.
He beat
Two
four
away.
tractors, and we're going to give him no way, Jose. Dan put Piastri. Oh, I don't know how I feel about Piastri positive surprise.
I know. He's gonna hate us because I know that he's listening and
He's not here, so
he.
we can do what we want.
Should we just say no?
I don't know. He
Sorry,
so
that's evil.
he's come fourth.
He's come fourth. Where did he qualify again? Fourth, wasn't it? Bear with me. 2 seconds. He qualified P6.
Where was Lando?
Starting grid, he was P5. Lando qualified P4, started P3 because of Perez's penalty, because he impeded Nico Hülkenberg.
Do you know? It's tough because, I mean, I think Piastri's been really, really good this year.
I mean, I thought he was great last year as well,
Yeah,
to be
he was
fair.
good listen. Yeah, he's been a really impressive driver. But
I
can I
wouldn't
really
say I
give it
was
to someone?
surprised.
Yeah, he's lost to his teammate. I think we've discovered that the McLaren is the third best team, and obviously the Ferraris beat them.
Especially
Perez,
in Australia.
penalty. Yeah, especially in Australia. Also, in every race track on the calendar, they're probably better than Mercedes. What do you think? I'm struggling to give it. For someone who lost to their team about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but is that because of the VSC?
Yeah,
Is that,
maybe it is. Maybe it is.
I think
But
that's why it was 30 seconds, so I do want to say that. I personally don't feel it's a positive surprise,
as I say,
which,
I think Piastri is good enough to finish P4. He's
oh,
not.
hundred
He's
percent.
not like a
I mean,
midfield driver.
I think he could have been on the podium. He could have.
Could have.
Controversial. Maybe if McLaren had swapped him around, but I think it was the right
They had
decision
to. They
because
had to.
they had to. They're on a different strategy. But I'm so sorry, Dan. I'm leaning to no.
I'm leaning to no because he was beaten by his teammate all weekend. And I feel like, unless it's like Logan Sargeant finishing P8, we can't really give positive surprises to drivers who are near the front of the grid if they lose to their teammate.
I would have given it almost more if it was Carlos Sainz.
Sadly, it wasn't. So sorry, Dan.
Sorry, mate.
You've lost unanimously. Charlotte and I are saying no to PSG. Positive surprise. So
He's
it's a
gonna
no
be
for
so
you.
annoyed.
Yeah, he's gonna be fuming. I know he's gonna be listening to this whilst on like the way to
He's
work or
gonna
something like that.
message us as soon as this bit comes up.
Well, too late, mate. Too late. Positive surprise. I put Alex Albon. I was feeling like there's mad vibes after the whole Williams switcheroo. Do you know what? It's on the brink, but I won't try to claim it because all he beat was the two Alpines, the two Saubers, and a pretty rubbish Daniel Ricciardo.
And
So I'm not.
my thing is as well, we qualify P11, so it's painfully just outside of Q3. And I mean, he finished
He
P11.
was good. He was good, but
He was good. He was good. But if
not
we are
quite.
gonna take out a driver in order to, I know it's have the chance to have points, but you've also got Max Verstappen out. You've got Lewis Hamilton out. So two people that could have got points. And then you've got people up there. You've got both Haases, who once again did do a good job at being like, you know, working the team game, and Yuki Tsunoda. It's like Alex should really, I feel, have been in the points.
Yeah, fair enough. Hülkenberg was there, wasn't he? Hülkenberg was there. And that Haas is pretty woeful. Wait, where was Magnussen? Did he get points as well? Where was Magnussen?
P10, P10.
Oh, what a buy. What a guy. Okay. Fez. I can't have that. I'll happily take that. Next for you, Shah. Could I have the first of your two old predictions, please?
Right. We're gonna need a debate on this. And I have a feeling I
What
know.
are we debating?
Right. So I wrote there will be two safety cars in the race.
No. I know what you're gonna say.
There were two VSCs.
Oh,
Can
two. No, come on.
I not? Are you
Sure,
joking?
two safety cars and
Why?
two VSCs. Nah, they're different things. A VSC and a safety car.
Can
That
I
is.
not fall under that bracket?
No, nah, you can't have VSC and you've got to be more precise. If you said VSC slash safety car, I mean, that wouldn't have been bold enough anyway. But I might have been able to, you know what I mean, make an exception. But two safety cars and there were zero safety cars.
But there was two VSCs.
But they're virtual. How can I give it for a virtual thing? It's not even a real thing. It doesn't
It has
exist.
safety car in the title.
It does, but it's. But that's like saying, oh, I've met, I don't know. Lewis Hamilton, but I played with him on a video game. He's not actually there, he's virtual. I've actually met the guy. So,
I think that's a not fair example.
well, I mean, it's a virtual safety car and a virtual Lewis Hamilton versus a real safety car and a real Lewis Hamilton. And the common denominator here is that the virtual things mean they're not actually there. So I just feel like I feel like I can't give that to you.
I know.
Virtual.
I tried. I thought
You tried, but
you get
that was always
nowhere
amazing.
without asking. That's how
True,
I, it's
true.
one of my mottos in life. You
Don't
don't
ask,
ask,
don't
you don't
get.
get.
Don't ask, don't get. It's a classic, that one. What one of my favorite British sayings, alongside, do you know when like someone's a bit sort of tired or not quite there, and then you go, oh, the lights are on but nobody's at home. That is a classic, mate. I love saying that. That's my favorite thing to say. Anyway, Dan said all 19 drivers finished a race. They
No.
didn't. No Verstappen, no Hamilton, no, who else was there at DNF'd?
Well, Russell in the end.
Oh yeah, Russ. There you go. So sorry, Dan. And I put there'll be a red flag in the race. Oh my days, a red flag in the race. Can you imagine they red flagged the last lap?
Well, I can, because that's what I wanted.
Yeah, me
Can
too. Me too.
you imagine there was a safe two safety cars in the race, mate?
Yeah, it would have been good, wouldn't it? It would have been good.
It
Would
would
have been
have been
really
really good.
good for us. But
Imagine that, two safety cars into a red flag. Oh my gosh, it would have been amazing for us.
sadly, we don't
Not
live
for
in that
the
kind of
actual
utopia.
situation.
But talking of utopia, you're going to be in utopia because you're going to tell me your second bold prediction.
So I had a really good Saturday. I put right, and I didn't want this to happen, but I thought, Charlotte, you need to just, we need the points this week, guys. I'm not gonna lie. And I thought, we've got to be realistic. Hamilton out in Q2, and he was. It sucks, but I was happy I got the point.
So you took off your fangirl hat, put on your realism hat,
Yeah.
and it's rewarded you. Oh, fair play.
And you see, this is when I told you earlier in the podcast, I can be impartial.
No, I respect it. And I mean, you might have jinxed it, but Dan might have jinxed it more because Dan put Russell beats Hamilton by over 10 seconds in the race, and both of them
Yes.
failed to finish. So Dan,
It's
that
a
was all your fault.
shame because had they both finished, I think he would have easily got that point.
Really? Because I mean,
I
I
think
guess he would
so.
have beaten by 10 seconds, I guess, in essence. But would he have beaten by 10 seconds? Because to beat someone by 10 seconds, they have to finish as well, no? Otherwise, he would have
Yeah.
beaten by an infinite number.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he was where was George before the incident? P7? I reckon Ham would
Yeah.
have been P9,
Probably,
maybe.
probably.
So, something like that. And they all quite distanced themselves from each other. I think it would have been nearer to 10. I think it would have been at least like some in 8 seconds, but you've got to think there's another car in front of him. So I'm not gonna lie, I reckon Lewis could have been like 4 or 5 seconds behind whoever was in front of him. And then in turn George. So that's mainly because Hamilton was struggling all weekend. That's why.
He was, but it didn't happen. Both in DNF. So Dan, zero for you, that sir. For me, you
Oh
sure? I actually need you to VAR this. I
God.
put only one driver who finishes will finish a lap down. So I need to know if that is true or not.
Wait, say that one more time for me, because
So,
I have to say
of
I
all the
didn't.
drivers who finish,
Yeah,
only one of
so
them will be a lap down. So, whoever is the last classified driver will be a lap
oh,
down.
wonderful. You haven't got the point. Up to
Who got lapped?
from P10 onwards, so P10 from Magnussen, Albon, Ricciardo, Gasly, Bottas, Zhou Guanyu, and Ocon all finished a lap down.
Oh,
And
all of you were close. All
I
of you were
would
close.
say that's due to the safety car. Not, oh, missed words there. Apologies. Virtual safety car. But I do think Carlos was lapping people
Yeah,
quite
no,
before
fair.
then.
I
I think he
can't.
was. I remember there was one point with the Charles and Lando like closing in battle. I know that they were closing up to Ricardo and the Hasses, I think, and stuff like that.
Oh, of course they
So,
would. Ricardo. Always getting lapped by a
that's.
guy.
So, right, hold on. Let's go skulls on the doors here. I have two, and that's mainly from my qualifying on Saturday.
Your two was Verstappen pole. And
Yeah.
Hamilton Q2.
Yeah.
Dan will argue he got two, but we're going to say he got one. He got Leclerc P2. He'll try and argue the Piastri one, but he's not here, so sorry, mate. And I only got one as well. I only got Leclerc P2. So well done, Charlotte. You've made the advantage count this weekend. You've gone first and you've delivered.
Finally.
I think puts us on. I've got two because I won Bahrain outright. I drew with Dan in Saudi. So Dan's on one. And now you're also on one. So,
And
you
I
know.
now have scores on the doors. I now have a point. That's all, you know what? That's all I wanted this weekend because I was getting worried that you guys were going to run off into the distance and I was going to be stuck for the European end of the predictions that I once again decide to perform in. And like I said, I'm taking it seriously this year, you know. I'm trying to get points and one of my bold ones got points.
No, that's good. That is good. To be
So
fair, I personally feel like we should put more weight on the bold and the positive surprise and the random finisher because it's quite easy to go, oh, pole Verstappen. But to go Hamilton Q2 takes a bit more guts, a bit more skill, and a bit more bravery. So, I mean, it's pretty too late to change the sort of algorithm we have. But from me to you, I'll give you a pat on the back.
thank you very much.
A
Thank
pat
you,
on the
Jay.
back.
It means a lot.
Oh, what can I say? Can I say, you know what? I'm actually quite a nice guy. I know I give you a bit of stick on Ricardo, but you know, deep down, there's a lot of admiration from me to you, sure.
Thank you,
That
Jay.
was a really weird thing to say, wasn't it? That's a really weird thing to say. Anything else you want to talk about before this gets too weird?
Japan next weekend, early again. Intrigued to see what's going to happen. And I hope that Max doesn't drive off into the distance.
He will. Go on quickly before we wrap up. What will the gap be between Verstappen and P2?
Oh, don't. But we don't know. What if that isn't the case?
Yeah, maybe Verstappen's DNFs again. Maybe we get
imagine.
a, I don't know, a Charles Leclerc. Imagine if Leclerc wins or Sainz wins again. Then we're going to be sitting here going, have we got a tight battle on our hands? But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in case Verstappen wins by 40 seconds like he has done in the last like 2 years in Japan.
I'm going to say 12 seconds.
Okay. That he wins by.
If that's the case, yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. You've heard it here first. Charlotte reckons Verstappen's going to waltz the title. I think we all probably do, sadly. But thank you very much for listening to this episode of Track Chalk, our Track Chalk, Track Talk, our Australian Grand Prix review. Dan will be back for our Japanese Grand Prix preview. But if you've enjoyed, make sure to go and follow us on all our social medias. Where are we at on Twitter? Underscore track talk? Or we track talk underscore? I always forget we're on Twitter. I
I'm
should
not gonna
probably know
lie,
that.
I always get confused, which is really bad.
We are underscore track talk on Twitter. There you go. Underscore track
Perfect.
talk on Twitter. So make sure you go on there. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us a share. We recently reached 5,000 listeners as well on Spotify. So a big thank you to all of you lovely people. Track talk underscore on Instagram. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Charlotte, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, Jane. Well done for hosting your first episode with us, eh?
Thank you. Thank you. It's been what, like 2.5 years in the making?
Yeah, I
And
don't
here
know
I
how
am
this has only happened, but I'm
in
proud
the
of
big
you.
chair. In the big chair. Thank you. Anyway, Dan's back soon. We'll be back soon for Japan. See you next week. Goodbye.